Who knew, Dan, who knew that the despised Messiah, the despised man of sorrows, who wandered a dusty Middle East country in sandals, worked for his dad, built doors, built cabinets, built closets, built little choo-choo trains for kids. Who knew that that one would become the sovereign of the universe? And that, my friend, is the secret of Christ.
All right. Nice joining you today.
Nice
joining
you.
We'll talk to you again tomorrow. We'll go to the next secret.
It's so beautiful here in Dearborn, Michigan, isn't it? It's a good day for the snatching away.
It is. It's cloudy,
very cloudy
again, so it may be.
Once again, cloudy
maybe
and
today.
Overcast. It might be today. The ceiling's very low there outside. Looks like a ceiling of about 500 feet. Gloom, doom. It's perfect.
Let's go.
I've often thought that God is going to set up the contrast for the snatching away. You know, it's, he's gonna make it so dismal, and we're going to be going through such trials, and then he's going to snatch us away. And man, is it ever going to feel good.
Right. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. You got something for us out of Psalm 8, but first?
Yeah, we're going to talk. But first, you want me to sing a song?
I thought, well, no, you were in Ephesians there.
Well,
and I was wondering what was going on in Ephesians.
This is important.
I thought we were going to Colossians. I'm stunned.
Well, we can go to Colossians too, but it's in both. Today's secret is the secret of the Son, the secret of Messiah.
Or the Christ. Messiah being Hebrew for Christ.
In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says that by revelation, the secret is made known to me, the secret. We'll talk about that tomorrow. And then in the Concordant Version, it's a parenthetical statement.
What verse are you in? I'm sorry.
Verse 3 and 4 of Ephesians 3.
Okay.
According as I write before in brief, by which, ooh, the wind's picking up. Maybe the snatching away is coming. Keep going. In brief, by which you who are reading are able to apprehend my understanding in the secret of the Christ, which in other generations is not made known to the sons of humanity, as it was now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. Now, the secret we're going to learn tomorrow was an absolute secret. It wasn't known before. But here's a secret that is revealed in, what's the word I'm going to look for? It got bigger. It got brighter. More was added to something that was already known. Increments. There you go.
Increments.
There's the word increments. Thank you. I appreciate you.
I'm a writer.
You got a pretty mouth. Okay. The secret of the Christ has to do with the glories of the Messiah. Now, Paul says, my secret, the secret, the absolute secret, is based on the secret of the Christ that he had written about before. When did Paul write about, in brief, the secret of the Christ?
I'm thinking the book of Colossians.
Well, I'm going to say he's talking in the same letter, and it's
okay.
In Ephesians chapter 1.
Okay.
Now, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 1, mm-hmm. we're going to see something here. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks about the transcendent, verse 19, the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing, in accord with the operation of the might of his strength, which is operative in the Christ, rousing him from among the dead and seating him at his right hand among the celestials.
Here it comes.
Up over every sovereignty and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this eon, but also in that which is impending, and subjects all under his feet, and gives him as head over all to the ecclesia, which is his body, the complement of the one completing the all in all. Now notice the phrase, subjects all under his feet. Do you know what that's from?
Sounds like 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Yeah, but you know where 1 Corinthians 15 is from?
No.
Ephesians 1, 1 Corinthians 15, and Hebrews 2 all quote Psalm 8 when it comes to the glories of Christ. Yes. And if you look, what does that say at the end of that psalm?
Permanent, the eons of the Son.
Psalm 8 is talking about the greater glories of God's Son.
I never knew that.
Now, first of all, this is a psalm we've all known. Everyone's heard the song, "Oh Yahweh, our Lord, how noble is your name on all the earth." You know, David went out on a starry night, looked up, mm-hmm. and he's like, man, look at this great, I can't believe the moon and the stars you've established. What is the mortal, a mortal, that you are mindful of him, or a son of mankind that you are visiting him? You make him lack a little of the messengers, and with glory and honor you crown him and give him the rule over the works of your hands. Now, what is David thinking about there? Genesis 1. What did God commit to Adam? Sway over all the earth, mm-hmm. right? And what did he? And he says, "All you have set under his feet," referring to Adam. Now, what are all the things that are set under Adam's feet? Flocks, domestic animals, beasts of the field, birds of the heavens, fish of the sea. O Yahweh, our Lord, how noble is your name in all the earth. the eons of the sun. So God committed Adam the rule of this earth and all under it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in Ephesians, do we read about flocks?
No, the picture's lifted big time.
Lifted. That's the point. It's beyond the earthly sphere. Here, not only is the earth underneath the sway of the Son of God, the Christ, but here we have up over every sovereignty and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named and subjects all under his feet. He's taking Psalm 8 and giving it an addendum.
Yeah, I'll say.
The glories of Christ as Messiah over this earth are being expanded in Paul's ministry to include the celestial regions. So this Christ that you pointed out at the beginning of this program that walked around with sandals and a dusty road is the one who holds universal sway over all the universe.
This really gives me a deeper appreciation of the parallel between Adam and Christ that I really hadn't realized before, that Adam was given sway.
Yeah.
And that was just a minute picture, a microcosm of the sway Christ would have.
Yeah.
He had sway over beasts and the fish, and he had sway over everything that he saw. And now you're telling us that Christ also has sway. Adam was a type of him who was to come, but the picture is lifted and it's magnificent. He has sway over celestial beings. That's a lot bigger than a tadpole.
And that's why you were about to read Colossians 1, and that's why in Colossians 1, Christ is called the image of the invisible God. That's hearkening back to Adam. Right?
What verse are you in Colossians?
Colossians 1:15, in whom, in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of every creature. Here he's...
Every creature,
everyone,
I like that. Yeah,
everyone. And notice the ones he dwells on here. He says that on the heavens and on the earth. But what does he dwell on? Visible, invisible thrones, lordship, sovereignties, and authorities. In Colossians, he's dwelling on the heavenly side. Because the earthly side was already well known throughout the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And the word image here, when you think of this word image and firstborn, he's like Adam. And the term firstborn has the idea of responsibility. He is responsible for this whole creation.
Yeah, Tony Nungesser's done a great thing on that, the Kinsman Redeemer.
Our friend Tony Nungesser, one of his best messages, talks about Christ as the firstborn being responsible. And if he doesn't save all of it, he hasn't fulfilled his role as firstborn. But this is the point here. This is the secret of the Christ. The one who is the image of the invisible God is the one who's the firstborn of every creature, the one who will bring it all back to himself, both heavens and earth. But in these next two eons, in Paul's message, we see unfolded to us the heavenly side of Christ's sway. The Old Testament prophets were very well versed. Remember Psalm 110, it says that Christ is in heaven, but he's there until his enemies are made a footstool. It doesn't talk about him remaining there. It doesn't talk about his role up there. It's like he's just up there for part time until he comes back and rules this earth. But what Paul is revealing to us is that he also has a plan for Christ for the celestial regions as well.
And nobody knew this until Paul, not even at the day of Pentecost. I mean, Peter preached the cross as bad news to the Jews. The cross was something they had to repent of. And so I don't think that Peter even thought of the cross of the death of Christ as anything but a sacrifice for the sins of that one little nation in the middle of the nowhere. They had no idea what Christ's celestial glories were. They couldn't have imagined it. They couldn't have imagined that that cross brought the whole universal sovereignties and authorities under his sway. Mm. And Paul had to unveil that because it was given to Paul and to nobody else. You know, Jesus to Nicodemus again, you know, if I tell you of the terrestrial and you're not believing, Israel couldn't even accept him as their sovereign. They could, let alone if he had divulged that he was a sovereign of these authorities and world mights among the celestials. My gosh, Nicodemus couldn't even get the earthly aspect of it.
Yeah.
So this stuff was dumped en masse to this man on his way to Damascus to kill Christians, and nobody knew about it.
And you know, and this is why Paul says his scriptures complete the word of God.
Yeah, how high? You can't get any higher than being the head of the universe.
No, he's completed. He's rounded it out now. And in your book, The First Idiot in Heaven, you have a little photograph of all these books, and you lift out Paul's letters. You know, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
you read your own book?
Yes, okay. I have.
And so Paul's letters complete that side of things. Now, well, I mean, we got to give a hint. We got to give a hint. This secret is based on the secret of the Christ. Because it was well known that Christ was going to be Messiah on earth, right?
That was known, prophesied,
yes. And there are a group of people associated with him in that glory, right?
That would be Israel.
And remember what our Lord prayed in John 17, I want them to be with me, that they may behold my glory. He wanted them to share in his glory on earth.
Yes.
Now, the secret of the Christ refers to his celestial honors. And guess what? He's associating another group of people with him in those celestial honors.
And it ain't Israel.
It isn't amazing that every time Christ gets glory, he shares it with someone.
He can't help it. He longs for the fellowship. That's why God started this whole ball rolling in the first place. He wants reciprocal love. I love that about God. That's why we want love, Dan. You know, that's why we look for mates and for those who can share our love. God is looking for mates, and he has them in us, and he's sharing to us these secrets of the celestial reign of Christ. I can't believe we're in on this.
How many times did Christ ever express his own will, his own desire? It was always his Father's will. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, not my will. You know, that was against his will. But here's a place where he wanted something. John 17:24, Father, praying to his Father, those whom thou hast given me, I will that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may be beholding my glory, which thou hast given me. You know, that was his desire for his earthly disciples. And he has the same desire for the body of Christ. He wants us with him in that glory. We're going to marvel at it. We're going to enjoy it.
And we always say he's waiting for it more than we are. There's nothing better than having a really juicy, great, awesome secret, and you just can't wait to tell somebody. And that's his attitude toward us. He cannot wait to tell us. All right, that's the secret of the Messiah, the secret of Christ, that this dusty Nazarene, this man of sorrows, is destined to become the ruler of the universe. But guess what? He's waiting for us. He can't begin the work of bringing the universe in subjection to himself and in subjection to God without us. That's an amazing thing. And now we're going to be getting into the secret administration, I believe, of the avenue, the way God brings this magnificent universal salvation to pass. Don't miss tomorrow.